pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Welcome back to the podcast. Appreciate you guys joining us. As always, you can check everything out at pistolsfiringblog.com. And you can also find us on iTunes as well. Today we have Matt Amelian joining us, frequent contributor to the blog. He's coming on to talk about what the football schedule looks like for next year and probably talk a little bit of Oklahoma State hoops as well. So let's go to the podcast. Okay, Matt Amelian, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while.
Yeah, good to be back on.
I don't think we've talked since the, what was it, the Heisman odds for next year?
No, we did. We did a, I don't want to bring this up, but I will. We did Big 12 over-under, and I looked at it a few minutes ago. You're going to win 9 of the 10 teams.
Well, that makes up for our head-to-head
football,
in football.
The pick-ems in football. I mean, it's bad. Like, I'm looking at this, and like, I was way off. The only one I'm going to get, I think, is Tech.
Read me back some of them.
No.
No, I just want to hear them.
Yeah, Baylor – You had 15. I took the over on that. Not happening.
Wow.
Iowa State.
Well, that was before we thought. I mean, that's when we still thought Scott Drew was competent.
Oh, completely took Scott Drew out of the equation, and that was right after they beat us by 40.
Yeah, right.
Iowa State. You had 10. I had the under. They're at 9 right now, and they still have Tech at home.
Yeah.
So that one's you.
Yeah.
Kansas. You picked 14. I went under, and I. Just because they hadn't quite really proven, I guess at the time they were still somewhat of a question mark. But they're at 12. They've got at A&M versus Texas versus Missouri and at OSU, and I'm pretty sure they're going to get two of those.
Yeah, for sure.
K-State, you had 12. I took the over. You already won that one. Missouri, you had 11. I went under. Obviously, they've got that. You've got that one. And
yeah, that was locked up on Saturday.
And I'll just—I mean, if we can go through them all, if you want. OSU, you had 7. I had 6. Versus A&M, you know, we should win one more.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, I think if you go 2-2 over the next two games, we've got what is it? At OU, A&M at home, Kansas at home, and then at K State.
Yeah, that's a tough 2 wins. I mean, I know OU's been falling off, but. You know, we still got to go in there and win. And I wouldn't expect there to be a crazy crowd or anything near it, but it's still a rivalry game on the road.
Yeah, I think you should win A&M at home, obviously. And then I think you can win one of the other three. I mean, I think – I don't know if you – to say you should, but, I mean, I think you can.
Yeah, no, I mean, you definitely can. I would agree with you there. As far as will we, yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll just kind of see how this team plays. You know, they're going to give it all they got.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about this real quick. I guess we can talk about basketball first. We'll get to the schedule here, the football schedule here in a second. There seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there seems to be two very distinct camps in terms of Oklahoma State fans. You have your camp that I'm in, that I might be leading, that's really excited about next year and kind of the direction that this team is headed. And I've said all year, you know, I'm on the Ford bandwagon. I never got off, but he's going to have to show me that this team is headed in the right direction by the end of the year. And he has. I mean, I've watched every game in the last, whatever, 2 or 3 years, and I really feel like, no, they don't have all the pieces, but they're headed – to the right place, and they're building from the bottom up with freshmen and sophomores. Now you have your other camp that is still in the, we hate Ford, LeBron Nash wasn't what we thought he was camp. And And I don't know what's going to make them get out of that camp. Do you feel like those are kind of the two directions that OSU fans are taking right now?
Yeah, and I don't know if there's middle. I mean, there's probably some middle ground in there. You know, there's been some good activity on the blog and the comment section, and I personally love it. You know, if we all had the same opinion and outlook on how things are and how they're going to be, it'd be pretty boring. And if nobody called people out whenever those opinions differed, then it'd be even more lame. So I think it's great stuff on the blog, and how people, their messages is, you know, up to them, and it just kind of stirs some interest. So I like it. I'm with you. It's just this. I mean, I'm excited for next year, but that doesn't mean, I think we're in for a really good year. You know, it just means that I think we can turn things around, get the program back on track, and, you know, it could be a tournament team next year. And I don't think that that's out of the question. Not saying it's by no means is it a guarantee. You know, we're still 13-14 right now.
No, I understand that. I think you have to go into next year thinking this team, you know, maybe if it catches a break or if nobody gets hurt like they did this year, then you have to go in thinking they're going to be one of the four or five best teams in the Big 12. I mean, they're going to end up this year as probably in sixth or seventh place, depending on what Texas and Kansas State do. And I see no reason why you can't improve on that, you know, two or three spots.
Yeah, and you're losing a team ahead of you. You're losing a team below you. And you're getting in a team that's probably ahead of you and one that's probably below you as well. So that, nothing really changes there, I wouldn't think. But yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that. You're still going to be a middle-of-the-pack team, but I think that on average, and then you've got a chance to, you know, to come together, make some noise, and make a push.
Do you think I haven't gotten your take on this yet, but do you think losing Keaton is going to hurt this team next year?
No, I've always felt that way. It's nothing against him at all. Like I like him as a player, you know, but I just think, and it's not his fault. It's because we haven't had, you know, a true point guard or, the guys on the team to actually, for him to fit his role. And he just hasn't really, I hate to say this, he's coming off a great game, but I feel like he hasn't really brought the value that everybody, I don't know, thinks he does. And, you know, thinks that he has and reached his potential, because his numbers really have not been that impressive. And, you know, I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention looking at how, you know, guys have done against him as far as him on defense and his size. But when you try to run a lot of plays through him, it's really tough whenever he's, I mean, I don't know his actual height. I know he's not 5'9". But I mean, it really limits your offense when you're trying to run, you know, shots through him. I'm not saying they always do, and they've gotten away from that, but no, I think this team will be just fine.
So
apparently, you know, he'll still be around the team for his leadership, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Well, just that he wants to coach.
Or that Ford, it's probably in the bullets, just that Ford said that, you know, he could see him being around the team.
Yeah.
You know, back next year.
Yeah, for sure. So you don't, whenever you're going through that, you said you don't think he's reached his full potential?
Well, I mean, of what people expected him to be or what some people actually think that he is, like a great three-point shooter. I mean, yeah, but when guys are keying on him, it's a lot different than when they're, you know, keying on a LeBron Nash. I mean, he's much more capable of, well, maybe not yet, but I mean, he's a much more capable athlete of creating his own shots. And, you know, it's just different whenever you're that height. And the athleticism, you know, you don't quite match up to a lot of the guys guarding you.
I feel bad for him, because I feel like his destiny as a college player was kind of was supposed to be like a rich man's Lee Humphreys, the guy that was, the shooter. I don't know. I think he played two guard on those Florida teams when they had Noah and,
okay, now I know who you're talking about. Just
yeah,
so that's Florida team.
Yeah, so you go in, you average, I don't know what Humphreys averaged, probably 10 a game, you know, hit three. I think he shot 60% from three because nobody's guarding. I mean, I just feel like that's what Keaton was supposed to be, and then you ask him to be all these things he's not, which is, I mean, he's done a great job. He's done everything you could have ever wanted him to do, but
Because, for the situation. I completely agree.
But because he's been the go-to guy the last 2 years, people expect that, he's going to progress. He's going to keep getting, but no, that's not what he is. You know, like he's not a number one.
You've pretty much maxed him out at the one. Like you've reached the maximum of what you're going to get out of him. And you're right. It does suck for him. But the good thing is, you're the all-time leader in minutes played for a team through some rough years. Play your butt off. The fans are always going to respect you, and your name's always going to mean something to the fans, and it will to me. I'm not saying anything negative as far as I'm sure I'll miss part of him, miss having him on the team, but I'm not going to miss him as our one of our key starters leading us in minutes. That's not a situation that I want to go through again next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be interesting to see who fills the outside shooting void. I think Brian Williams is shooting. Well, it might not be Brian Williams. Somebody on the team is shooting like 45%. It's either Brian or maybe Markel in conference play. But I don't know.
You can't count on. You can't say that it's going to be old Forte down there.
No.
Coming in, because that's just exactly what we did with Keaton. It's like he's going to have to come in and prove that he can do that against the type of athletes that he's going to be facing.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that worries me is, this team obviously isn't keen on getting a ton of assists, so you kind of rely on your outside shooting a little bit, and your outside shooting this year means Keaton jacking up three. So, maybe you lose some of the jacked up threes, but you also miss, a lot of the points that come from those. So that's something that I'm interested to see how they fill that void, and maybe they won't need to. Maybe they will run and drive more. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how Ford handles that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it'll be interesting. And the guy at 45% was Redger. I don't know if that's who you're referring to, but
no, it was somebody in conference play only.
I obviously don't have those stats handy. Yeah. So.
Let's move on over to the football schedule, because I do want to talk about
definitely.
That. Starting off we'll just run through it. We'll just talk about each game real quick. How do you feel about, obviously they're starting off with Savannah State at home. First of all, did you know Savannah State had a team? And second, how do you feel about games against teams like that, that it's just kind of a joke of a game?
I did not know they had a team. I remember, I want to say a few years ago, I think their basketball team, I kept seeing them in ESPN's bottom 10 on a consistent basis. So to not even know they had a football team, how bad is that? On a scale of 1 to 10 on how much I like scheduling this game, I go with an 8. In my mind, a 10 would have been a New Mexico or a terrible FBS team. This team, I don't think this team needs a challenge to start off the season. Let's just get a W in a way to find some rhythm. And obviously, it's going to be may not be easy to carry it over into a game against a BCS conference opponent. But maybe some of it could have been a team a little bit better, but probably options were very limited, scheduling so late. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I wonder how that played in terms of not being able to, to get somebody, because it's not like you're not going to call like a Virginia Tech and say, hey, let's do a home, and like it's just not going to happen,
No, especially with the way things are going, there's no reason to.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's no, the way college football is set up, there's no reason for either of those teams to do a home and home like that, which is why I don't understand. And I appreciate it, but I don't understand LSU and Oregon, starting off the year. What's the point of playing?
Absolutely. I mean, as a fan, I love it. When we scheduled Georgia both times, I loved it. Provided a great road trip down to, Athens the year we went there. And then, an excellent home game to open up the new stadium is awesome. But as far as it meaning anything, it doesn't, because you play in the Big 12 and that's where you're going to get all your tough games,
And that's another reason that I'm a proponent of every conference should get whoever wins that conference should represent each conference in a playoff, postseason playoff. Yep. I don't even.
And I strongly disagree with you on that.
Yeah, but my point. Okay, to accentuate
point.
Well, to accentuate that point, you can still have LSU Oregon, and it doesn't matter because both teams can still win. Like it's almost like a tune-up game for conference play.
So,
So I'm saying as fans, you win in that situation because you don't have to get rid of those games. I mean, teams can still like Oklahoma State could schedule Virginia Tech this year and still play for the national title.
It still didn't matter. Both of those teams would have been in a playoff. You know what I mean? Like even if conference champions were not automatic, both of those teams would have been in the playoff.
I know, but that's not the case every year. I mean, that's one situation.
Yeah, but who was it? I don't remember. Was it Arkansas State or something that lost two games? Or I just don't need a Sun Belt team with two losses. You know, beating out a 10-2 or you know Arkansas team.
Do we look at that differently than we look at the basketball tournament at March Madness? Because in March Madness, we love the underdog.
But absolutely, but not in football. The difference you're not going to see, the upsets that you're going to see in the NCAA tournament. I mean, do you think you would?
No,
you think you're going to get a Louisiana Lafayette coming in to play anybody tied? You think they're going to get drilled by 30 or 40? And it's kind of a wasted game whenever you could have someone else that give them a really good run in there. Say you put looking back at the rankings, but.
Well, I think if you do the playoffs for 100, let's say you did a 16 team playoff with all the conference champions and five at larges for 100 years, I think a number one or a number two would get beat at most once and maybe never. So, okay, but
I agree with that. I mean, I go with never.
but the point is, why even have those teams? And I've said this time and time again, and I think you agree with this. Why even have those teams in the same division as an Alabama? I mean, why not just put them in FCS?
I feel like you've never listened to my response to this point because you've told me that before, and I don't agree with it. Because what I've always said is if they run the table, undefeated, win their conference, then you can put in an exception to where, yes, they do get to squeeze in and get that automatic spot. As long as they're undefeated and, you could have a strength of schedule ranking that they've got to meet. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if one of those teams just plays FCS schools and then rolls through the WAC, I mean, do they really deserve a shot? Heck no, they don't.
No, you're right about that. I kind of agree with that, but I guess what I'm saying is if we both – let's say Arkansas State goes 12-0 this year with Gus Malzahn.
Okay.
I mean, is there any way they beat whoever wins the SEC in the first round of a playoff? I guess my point is still, like, what's the point even if they are 12? Like, you might as well just put them in another division anyway because they're never going to beat that number one or number two seed, right?
Okay, well, yeah, that's a different argument,
right?
Than them just, getting a shot,
right?
But I mean, yeah. But how often are, do you see teams in the NCAA tournament actually win it? You know, they get there, they make the tournament, and that's almost everything to them. You know, like winning their conference. I mean, I don't know. I like that in basketball, but in football, I wouldn't agree with it. And I see what your point. Like, so they have their own national championship.
Well, yeah, and it's like
– maybe they should.
I mean, you say a team getting to the college basketball tournament is like winning it all to them. Well, I mean, isn't the same thing true in football? Like, you just want a shot – you just want to say we had a shot to play for the national title, even if you get drilled by 40.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be the greatest way to go out, but you're like, hey, we were there.
Yeah, so either do that or put them in a different
division. Your crappy, Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, it's just it's such a broken system, and we didn't have this podcast to talk about this.
No, we've gotten through one Savannah State, and that led to a freaking playoff argument. You want to go to Arizona?
At Arizona, do you think Rich Rod will have things rolling by week two of the 2012 season?
No, it took. He went 3-8 his first year at West Virginia and 3-9 his first year at Michigan. I don't think they're going to be ready for a top 25 team after one game, and that first game that they play is versus Toledo. So no, I don't think so. They won 4 last year. New coach, learning his system. Obviously, he's proven he can't turn it around in 1 year. Don't see that being the case. I would think West Virginia and Michigan both had better players and athletes than he'll have at Arizona coming in.
Yeah, I think that'll be an interesting game for OSU because I think, I mean, that could be a night game. It could be a Thursday night game. It could be a Friday night game, kind of like Missouri went to Arizona State last year on a Friday night. And I think that'll be a game where you see Randall and Jeremy Smith get like 70 combined carries because you've got whoever starting going on the road for the first time. And I mean, I think you just kind of trust your running game and not to start breaking these games down, but I don't know. I think
we're probably going to throw for 500 now because I agree with you. And
okay. Louisiana at home. Is that going to be an issue or?
No, I'm not going to do the research to figure out, you know, who their big starters are coming back and the ones that are leaving. But I don't think whoever our starting QB is going to throw 2 pick sixes in this one this year. And I can't see it being an issue. I mean, maybe closer than whatever the spread comes out to be. I could see the spread being like a 22 maybe or something like that. It might be like a 16-17 point win.
Yeah, I think you should be 3-0 going into the Texas game. The Texas game is so weird to me because it's surrounded by a bye on each side and you basically play one game in 30 days.
I hate that.
Yeah, I hate that too. You get rid of both your byes before the conference slate pretty much.
But that's really the only beef I've got with the schedule. To be honest, overall, I like it. We can talk about that when we're finished. No game to me against the Longhorns is ever a lock. They recruit so many athletes and players that they've got to break out at some point, right?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. People, we got Texas this year. Well, no, they're always going to be really good. I mean, not necessarily dynamic, right, but they're going to have really good athletes and they're going to have a great defense. I mean, that's just how
it is. You know, they're always able. So this game, I mean, I got this one as a W. I still think we're the better team overall. And it's in Stillwater. At Texas, I might switch it around for this coming season, but
yeah, no, I think it's an important, I mean, I think that's huge to have the Texas game at home for sure.
Yeah. So we're 4-0.
At Kansas,
5-0.
There's no way. I mean, you can't lose that game, can you?
No. Weiss might keep us from covering a 40-point spread, but no, you can't. There's going to be more orange there than you know. It'll probably be a third orange again. KU is just not an intimidating place to play, and I'm not buying anything. Any of the changes that they've made to it making a difference.
Yeah, and again, you can't ask for a better first conference road game for your new quarterback. I mean, that sets up – I mean, obviously you don't love opening with Texas during conference, but to go on the road for your first – for, you know, whoever's first start against Kansas is awesome.
Yeah, not in your own house. I mean, you get Arizona. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, that does set up nicely for us.
Iowa State at home. What are the chances Oklahoma State loses this game?
How much anger are all of our returning players going to be playing with? It's like, poor, you know, Iowa State, nothing against Iowa State. I actually like them, but gosh,
yeah, I do too.
But they're just so continually breaking our hearts in the past, year.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Homecoming, I think that's going to be a win. The week after that's going to be interesting, though. TCU at home.
We're 6-0, obviously, right now, and everybody's talking about how it's possible. And now, hey, we could run the table. That's what's going to happen at our tailgate. led by Quaid, and I'll be right there with him. I'm sure he is.
No,
I know. I'll still be questioning him. I'll still be like, yeah, I don't know.
Hey, he's already got his spreadsheet filled out and ready to go for next year.
Are we going 14-0 somehow?
Yeah, exactly.
Getting an extra game.
I think. I don't know. I think TCU is a game you can lose. I mean, I know obviously they're going to be missing some guys based on the past 2 weeks' events.
Right.
But they're going to be good, and they've got a good defense, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of equals. I mean, as far as, you know, how the season will play out, I feel like we'll be kind of right there neck and neck.
Yeah, I do. I'd be surprised if they were not within a game or so of each other in conference play.
I think they're going to be, no, I've looked at their conference schedule. They should be undefeated. They've already had, they'll be playing, let's see, before us, Baylor, Iowa State, Tech, and Kansas.
Wow.
I look at those, and no matter what they're played, you got to put a W down for them. Not saying they, you know, I think they're at Baylor, not saying they couldn't lose that one like they did last year, but no Robert Griffin.
Yeah,
and he was their team, but I mean they're gonna be 4-0 in conference.
Yeah, I think that will be a really just intriguing game from a standpoint of you do have two, I think, similarly talented teams and well coached, and I don't know. I think that'll be a really good game. I think.
Yeah, I'm excited for that game.
Yeah,
I think because we get him home, we're gonna get that one.
Okay, you go purple 2 weeks in a row. You open November at Kansas State. I mean, that's got to be your biggest question mark thus far on the schedule, doesn't it?
Yeah, by far the toughest environment they're going to see at this point. And I might road trip to this one because game day atmosphere is up in Manhattan. They're one of the best. I've been there it's a while back, and we lost. Came down to the last play. Batten. My spot, Cam from Modern Family, try to get some tailgating in with him. You know he's a huge Kansas State fan, right?
Yeah, he was on their game day set, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just weird thinking of him as like a sports fan because I just know him from Modern Family. But yeah, that one's a loss.
Yeah,
to me.
I think so too. I mean.
You feel like a bad fan when you predict a loss. You're like,
yeah, but you got to be realistic. I mean, they come down to Stillwater last year against, I mean, that team we had last year that was, you know, I think going to end up definitely better than the team this year. And they play within a second of getting a win there. I don't think you can expect to go to Manhattan and get a win.
I completely agree. I'm not saying we can't make a game of it. But you're right. You have to say, yeah, Kansas State by a touchdown, maybe 10.
Yeah. West Virginia at home. That, talk about a great game.
Actually, when I said TCU, this is the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
On the schedule by far.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I mean, I think that. I mean, if you had to put a spread. And there probably is some site out here that already had this, but I think if you had to put a spread on it today, you'd probably say West Virginia by 3.5 or 4, maybe. I mean, do you think that's fair?
Yeah, that might be fair, and that might be one that I'm not going to talk about what I'd take because I don't know. But yeah, just based on how their season ended and. I know they've got Geno Smith coming back. Other than that, I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm so excited. I can't tell you how excited.
All we care
I am
about is Dana coming back to Stillwater.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm talking about Geno Smith.
There's nothing better about this season than Holgorsen coming back to Stillwater. I think the funniest thing I've seen so far is somebody asking whether he was going to stay at his old hotel room whenever he.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have it made up for him real nice. Welcome home, Dana. Do we even know what hotel that is?
I don't want to know, to tell you the truth. Okay.
Oh, man.
Texas Tech at home the week before Thanksgiving. That's got to be a win.
I've got nothing really interesting to comment on this game other than that it's a win. And I put it earlier, I did say win versus Virginia. That's my prediction. And so I've got us at 9-1. When I first went through, I was like, you know, I counted a loss between TCU and West Virginia. When I go game by game, I'm a Cowboy fan. They're going to be close. And so the homer pick is a win. So yeah, but Tech a win, 9-1.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason you shouldn't beat Tech at home. Then you finish with at OU and at Baylor. It's kind of weird. It's going to be really weird to end the season against a team that's not OU.
It's going to be different, but I like it for one because, well, you know, we haven't played in Norman since 2009. And I think so our fans are going to forget, you know, they'll forget what happens when we play there. That 9-1 record's everybody's going to have that, you know, hey, you know, we could come out, we're having a good year, we could upset them. We could, but we won't. But then again, after we roll Tech the week before, I'll be one of those fans saying it, just like I always am. the last time they played there, I didn't, when we got shut out. I was like, I just don't have a good feeling. And I didn't go to the game for like the first time since 2001 was the last time I didn't go to the game with Norman. We just kept getting, I mean, it wasn't like we got beat. We were just getting, it was just not fun at all. Yeah. Like, it just sucks. Everything about it, the atmosphere, hearing the band play, I mean, everything sucks.
Yeah, no, everything about that game did suck. And that was the game that we thought that Whedon should have been playing. I mean, I think we all talked about that before the game actually happened. But Zach played with presumably a busted up shoulder. And I think that was the game that I Googled what's the NCAA record for punts in a game multiple times.
It was not good. It was bad. You know, and you mentioned that when we all said, you know, we think Legion should be playing. And people have still held on to that. Like, they haven't – there are people, fans out there who are not sold on Gundy because they look back and like, well, he did hold Whedon back whenever he should have been playing. And, yeah, everybody's absolutely right. But, I mean, he's learned a lot. He's come a long way past few seasons. You know, like, I'm sure now he knows much more than he did then that, hey, even though Zach put in his time you know, I got to play the right guy to win games. Yeah, he's figuring it out. I can't hold that against him.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not sold on Gundy, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying people aren't sold like they don't like him, but I mean, you know, if you're still questioning him, it's like, well, look at what we've done. I mean, he's matched or improved every year. We don't need to get into that. Everybody knows how great of a job he's done. But, yeah, I don't want to talk about memories of going to games in Norman.
Okay, then obviously finishing at Baylor.
I'll never predict us to lose to Baylor in football.
But what do we expect from Baylor after last year?
I ran down their schedule. When I was going down their schedule, I pretty much came out to 6-6. But I hope they lose every game. What do they have? They lost Griffin, Kendall. I'm clueless as to what other weapons that they've got. Ganaway's. I mean, he's still there.
Yeah, Ganaway's really good. I mean, Florence looked really good in that second half against Tech at Jerry World whenever they played down there. I think he put up like 35 or you know, 40 points in the second half against it. That was like the 65-40 game or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just going to be a completely different team. It's going to be, I don't know. I'm not convinced that their defense is going to make the improvements that they need like OSU's did last year, to be really competitive. I mean, you can't expect them to go 9-3 again.
No, absolutely not. I mean, he was their team. And in my opinion, he was. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like Baylor. You know that. But I've got a lot of respect for Kendall Wright. You know, I'm kind of now like, I can name my favorite player just like I can, you know, I've got a couple OU players that I've liked over, you know, decades. I can start my Baylor list now.
I agree with you. I thought he kind of got an unfair shake last year. I mean, if you go back and look at his numbers, they were pretty equivalent with Blackman, and it was like nobody even mentioned that he was there. You know, and a lot of that is because he was overshadowed by Griffin, but he was awesome. He was really good.
He was so very well deserving of, any, you know, accolades or anything that he would have earned. I mean, he had a phenomenal year. And it, you're right, it wasn't fair to him. He did not get the attention that he – I mean, don't get me – Griffin threw some good balls downfield, but dude got open, you know?
Yeah, I mean, every time you saw a deep ball to him, he was – I mean, I think it was the Texas game. It was a joke how far out in front of everybody he was.
Yeah. Of course, not against our terrible defense, but
okay. So you've got what do you have? 10-2, 9-3.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to give you game by game, I go through and it's 10-2. When I look overall and I try to think more realistically, I'm trying to get it out of my head. It's like, oh, we got them at home, we're going to win, but we're not invincible at home. Last year. That's not how it is every year. Just look, I mean, we lost to Houston, lost to a good Nebraska team, but we got West Virginia, TCU, and Texas coming in. So I haven't made my official record prediction, but I might predict one of the TCU or West Virginia games to be a loss at 9-3, which is still a good year. I'm kind of curious what the Vegas number is going to be, the over-under this year, you know, on our wins, because shoot, if it's at 6, man, I'm taking the over.
I think the Vegas over-under will be at 7.5.
I would probably agree. And I would take the over on it.
But what was it at last year? Was it 8.5 and we were shocked?
Yeah, we were shocked and didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, that was dumb. But yeah, I think it'll be at 7.5. I mean, just looking at it right now, it's the end of February, but I mean, 9-3, 8-4. I think you're going to lose at OU. I think you're going to lose at K-State. I think you're going to lose at least one of TCU, West Virginia, and Texas. And then if you lose another one, I think you go 8-4 because I think you won the rest of them.
And you can't say that that's a bad year, a disappointing year.
No.
Let's bounce back right after it. But I mean, let's say we do go 9-3. 10-2 after losing Whedon, Blackman, Markell, and Kyle Hale. How phenomenal is that for a rebuilding year for OSU? And if you're wondering why I dropped Kyle Hale's name, it's just because he's my boy. Not you. You know that, but.
No, I agree. And you know, it's funny because people are like, oh, 8-4, you know, that's a pretty good year. And you really set yourself up for in 2013, you've still got Joseph Randall and Jeremy Smith, and now you've got a year of experience for either Lunt or Chelf or J.W. Walsh, and so you've got OU at home, you know, pending any other changes to the Big 12 schedule. You know, you kind of set yourself up for another title run in 2013.
I just pulled up our 2013 schedule. I didn't know if we had anybody on it. Have you seen it? We've got two non-conference games. It's Savannah State Dial. It's Texas, UT, San Antonio, the Roadrunners.
This is football?
Yeah. They made the bump up. This year they are an FBS team.
Yeah, aren't they coached by like Franchione or somebody weird like that?
I have no idea.
I'll look that up while you tell me who the other.
Lamar.
Oh my gosh.
But I can't argue with those games. The way it's set up right now, it's like we need W. You know, you just put some wins on the schedule.
Yeah. No, it's true. And it's something that hopefully Travis Ford is listening to this podcast so he can take some notes. UTSA is actually coached by Larry Coker.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think Franchione coaches Texas State. I think that's where I was getting that from.
Okay. Hey, in 2015 we play. We do have at Air Force, but we also have Central Arkansas Bears coming to town. I'm kind of hoping that's a home and home for the future because they have the purple and I think it's purple and gray like striped field.
Really?
Yeah. I think we've gone too long on this podcast because I'm talking about how I want to go to Central Arkansas.
Well, we definitely have. Those home and home game, you know, future games are weird, though, because I know we had Clemson scheduled for a while for I think it was like next year in 2014. It was home and home. And we also had Purdue for a while, and I don't think that's on there anymore either. And so I guess I don't understand what they do with those. I don't know if they're just like placeholders or what the – what the point of putting those schedules out there is.
Not sure. Yeah. I just saw where we're at UT San Antonio. Actually, it's at the Alamo Dome next year.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. And then we get them the 2 years following that. That's actually kind of might be one to go, not for the game, just for the Riverwalk and whatnot.
Yeah, we need a – well, I guess we've had a win in San Antonio since the Final Four, but we could use another one to erase that memory.
Yeah, we sure could.
Okay, Matt Amelian, appreciate you coming on. It was fun to talk about the schedule, little OSU hoops. Definitely have you on again in the near future, and hopefully we can get some of those over-under totals for football out sometime soon.
Yeah, I'd love to get that.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, we could do like a three-parter on over-unders.
Yeah, we get caught up in all that. Hopefully other people do too.
Okay, we'll talk to you later on.
All right, man. Take it
easy. Okay, see you.